Okay, so today we're on Daf Kuf Chaf on in Masechet Shabbat. I'll begin on Kuf Yud Tet Amud Beis, a few lines from the bottom. I'll begin four lines from the bottom. So the Gemara is in the middle of a discussion of reasons why Yerushalayim was destroyed, and it gave a whole series, and this is the last one. He says, "Va'am," and it's talking about the Churban Bayit Rishon because he's quoting pasuk here. So he says, "Va'amar Rabba, lo charvi Yerushalayim el b'shilshet pasku b'mena anshei amana." There was no truthful people, so the whole city went kaput. Shneimar shoshtu b'chusot Yerushalayim uruna udu b'chshu rechovotah imtzui shosem mishpat b'vakish emuna v'yislachlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Nevuah in Sefer Yirmiyahu, the book of Jeremiah, it says, you know, go around the streets of Yerushalayim, see if you find anybody, an honest person, and I'll forgive the city. And it sounds like I'll spare the city, there'll just be somebody honest there. So the Gemara says, Eni, now the Gemara is going to prove that they were honest in the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Is Eni va'amarav Ketina, afilu b'shat kishlona shel Yerushalayim, even during the time of the downfall of Yerushalayim, lo paskim minu anshei amanai, they did have truthful people. Now, the proof's going to be that if they would ask somebody if he had any learning, he would say, I'm a zero, I don't have learning. And so that's the, that they did have truthful people. Okay, and then the Gemara is going to resolve the apparent contradiction with this. He says, Shenamar, and he quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya, Ki posi ish b'achiv beit aviv, simlalacha katzin tielanu. And again, the Gemara here is darshening out these psukim. So it means if a person grabs like his brother, his father's house, doesn't mean like his brother literally. It means, you know, it could be like a relative, but anyway, he says, Simlalacha, do you have literally a garment? Katzin tielanu, you'll be our leader. So because I'll understand this differently, the Rimshavidamit Kasimba Kisimla Yeshnabiadecha. Do you have the item that people like they hide out like with their garments? I assume it means like you'd wrap yourself in your garment to hide out. So Rashi says that this is six lines to the bottom. Sholinotan Tamei Torah says people ask them questions in Torah. He says Halalu Sinatsman Kamalin with Debrayim. They pretend they don't hear. And I was like I don't know, I'm wrapped in my garment, I don't hear you. He says, but they sha'in and yodimashi, because they don't know the answer. So the way the Gemara understands the Pasuk, do you have that item that people are hiding out and pretending that they don't have that they don't hear the question? Means you have Torah. He says, Vahamachshila, and then the Pasuk continues, Vahamachshila zot Tachat Yadecha. He says, let this stumbling block be under your hand. And the top line, Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph, Devarim She'ein Ben Adam Omdim Aleihem Elam Ki Nechshalin Behen Yeshdan Tachat Yadecha. Do you have, again, it's the same idea. Do you have the item that people only acquire when they trip over it? So Rashi says that on the top line in Rashi, Etche Omran Shnayim U'Shlosh Pa'amim. In other words, you need to go over it two or three times till you get it straight. And otherwise, you're like floundering with it. In other words, so do you have the Torah, is what they're saying? He says, Katzin Tielanu. In that case, you'll be our leader. I think Katzin in modern Hebrew is like a general, right? So Katzin, Tielanu. Then the psukim continue. Yisa bayamahu leimor lo yechovesh v'gomer ein yisa l'shon shvua. The word yisa alludes to making a shvua. V'chein omer lo tisa shem Hashem. Like, don't bear God's name in vain. And the Aseret Dibrot, so like he's taking like Lashon Shvua, Lo Yeh Chovesh, he says, Chovesh is like, it means like a leader, but a person who can keep somebody captive, like, you know, lock somebody up. So he's saying, but he's darshening out differently. He says, Lo Yeh Chovesh, Lo Yeh Mechov She Atzman Veda Medrash, means I'm not among those people who would be in the base medrash learning, uveiti ein lehem vein simla. Uveiti ein lechem ein simla. My house has no bread, there's no garment. Shein biyadi lo mikra v'lo mishnah v'lo gemara. In other words, I'm a zero. He's like, very honest. I don't know anything. You got the wrong guy. I'm a complete zero in Torah. So the point is, he's honest. But at least he's honest. So the Gemara says that Yerushalayim was destroyed because nobody was honest. And here you see another pasuk that says they would ask people, do you have Torah? And the point is they didn't have a lot of learning at that point in time, it sounds like. So he says, I'm a zero. I don't know any Torah. So he was honest.
What if he was being
Wait till I pause. Okay, when I get to the Mishnah, then I'll pause. Okay, just wait just to get a pad and write out the question, okay? So the Gemara says, Umimai, how do you know that it's so clear that he was answering that way because he's honest? Dilma, Shani Hatam, the Amar Lahu, Gamirna, Amrule, Amalan. Maybe he's afraid if he says, yeah, I have learning, so let's say, good, now give us a shear. Let's hear the questions. So he's not so honest. It's just like there's no plausible way to get out of this thing. So he's forced to say the truth. You know what I mean? Not that he's honest per se. So the Gemara says, Havale the Meimar Gamar Vashachach. In other words, even if, let's say, he said he has learning, and then they ask him a follow up question, he could have like a plausible deniability and say, I had the learning and I forgot it. In other words, but instead he says, I don't have any learning. In other words, so if he was like a liar, he could have gotten away with a lie. He could have said, I know all the learning. Then they ask him a question. He says, well, you know, the truth is, I had it and I forgot it. But instead he says, I'm a zero. I never had it. So my lo yechovesh klal. So what does it mean lo yechovesh? It means I wasn't in the base measure. I have no learning. So we have a contradiction. So the first statement was that Yerushalayim was destroyed because nobody was honest. And here we see from Sukkim, people were honest. They said they had no learning. And it's a meter, you know, just to even, it sounds like something simple, but just to say, I don't know the answer to this question is a meter. Like today, like in America, everybody says, I know. Everybody, they make it up as they go. They all know. Anyway, so now the Gemara says, Lo kasha, kan bedibrei Torah, kan b'masamata. The Gemara says, no contradiction. The statement that Yerushalayim was destroyed because nobody was honest, it's talking about in business. In other words, everybody was lying and cheating in business. That's why Yerushalayim was destroyed. That was the first statement. And this statement about them being honest is talking about Divrei Torah. Yeah, in Divrei Torah, they were honest. When they were zeros, they said that. But in terms of their business ethics, that was zero. Okay, now, let me just go through this Marsha. I didn't forget about you, Robert. So there's a Marsha here, and the article mentions it, but The Gemara mentioned about half a dozen reasons why Yerushalayim was destroyed. But listen to what the Maharsha has to say. The Maharsha lives in the 17th century. He says, "V'hine rov avonot k'mat kulam heim b'dor hazeh b'avonotein rabim." He says most of these aveirot and practically all of them they exist in our generation, the generation that he's talking about, his own. He says, "Yisuri Shabbat ma'at mizer shenizharim b'hem." So the Gemara said Yerushalayim was destroyed because people weren't observing Shabbos. He says the observance of Shabbos isn't what it should be. Rabim shenam yodim b'isuran, v'ra'ui b'chol kihil lo'odia b'rabim l'drosh lehen lo'odia isuran. A lot of people don't know all the isurim. It's appropriate, he says, like to, you know, have a shiurim and to publicize it. I don't know if he means like today. You know, I don't think it means like on the level of today. You know, like people zero with Shabbos, but they don't know the halachot. Then he says, "Ubechol motzei Shabbat, Rabbim heim shidera chiyuv hulahem lehishtakir b'motzei Shabbat v'tel kriyash v'shachar b'zmano." He says, on motzei Shabbat, everybody gets drunk, sleep late Sunday morning, and they don't say kriyash v'zman. That's one of the other items that he said Yerushalayim was destroyed for. And then he says, "Bitol tino kochel beit rabban hu matsui bechol kihila gam abachrim vatlin rov hayamim bein hasmanim v'holchem rechovot bitulim v'tivlim." He says, like the Gemara says that Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Bitol Tino Kochel Beit Rabban, the young students weren't studying in yeshiva. He says, yeah, that's the way it goes. Everybody's mevatel. And he says that the Bachurim, he says, Bein Hazmanim. Bein Hazmanim is, in yeshiva, they have certain Zmanim. Like you have a Zman, one Zman because of the Elul. Another Zman, like, ends, let's say, it either ends, you know, before the 3 weeks, or at most it goes to Tisha B'Av, and then you have a break. So he says, then during the break, everybody's sort of like, you know, wasting their time. He says, and then Binyan Shushu Katon Gadol, and then the Gemara says that Yerushalayim was destroyed because they equated the Gadol with the Katon. In other words, the great person learning and the little person, they're all the same. So he says, "Hu parutz b'dor hazeh." He says, that's very prevalent here. Shekol karo tzeliot rava abeitin be'in Torah. Everybody wants to be a rabbi. Everybody wants to be the head of the bezdin, and they really have like zero Torah. He says, "V'hu b'chlal rabbi b'chalim b'gomer v'chol achad rotzel lahanig atzmo ba'ashirut b'begadim b'mibatim v'chol davar v'zeh yavo l'gzol chavei rav." Then everybody like wants to live like the high life, the wealthy life, and they can come to stealing. He says, and then he says, "Ha'ochacha b'ikare." Nobody gives tochacha. Nobody gives rebuke to anybody. Everybody says, I have to be careful of the other person's kavod. And then he says, "Bizui tami dechachamim v'shalot kabel tochatam matzui hu b'chol yom." And then to be vazel tami dechachamim and not to accept the tochacha. And then he says, the business, everybody's cheating as well with that. Anyway, you get the idea. So and then at the end he says, I should even speak about this at even greater length. I thought people won't listen, so Chazal teaches it's better that they should be shogeg and not be mazed. They better be unintentional, intentional. Okay, so that's the basic idea. What do you have for me, Robert?
So my question is, if somebody said, I don't really know Torah, are they being modest or just acknowledging being ignorant?
No. So in this case, the Gemara is saying they're acknowledging the emes. They don't have Torah. They are zero.
Because it says it's people of faith admit that they didn't study. So it seems to be a contradiction.
No. Well, he's translating people of faith. In other words, like the way the article translates, like people of truth. In other words,
that's fair.
The truthful person is that's the way they're going with that. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. Now, I have something for you. Yosef, you would ask me about the fish, which meals you have to have fish. So the Mishnah Berura has this in the first Siman in Reish Mem Beis, and he brings down, one minute, let me find it. Oh, one second. Yeah, he says, Gam tov shulcha b'chol suda mishto sudo dagim. He says that the Mishnah Berura says it's good, it's appropriate to have fish at each one of the three meals on Shabbos, im lo sheino otim lo lefi tivo, unless they don't agree with him, o shesonon, or he doesn't like the fish. In other words, he's not forced to do something he really, you know, if it's something horrible from that, that's not owning Shabbos. But the ideal is to have fish at each one of the three meals. All right, let's go back into the Gemara. All right. So now we're on Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph in the Mishnah. Okay, so again, so if you remember in the last Mishnah, the prior Mishnah, we said that one is allowed, permitted to save three meals on Shabbos. Remember, we said that you're not allowed to save more because a person is Bahul Amamono. We're afraid if we give you permission to save more things, there's a fire going on in the house, and you could save enough food for three meals. But we said that we're afraid to give you an open license to save whatever you want because we're afraid that you'll forget about Shabbos and try to start dousing out the fire. So we limited you. So now in this Mishnah, it will be Lechora Stira, but in the Gemara, we'll resolve it. Okay? So the Gemara Manitin, Matzil Salma Lekikarot, a person can save a basket that's filled with loaves of bread. So I have a basket in my house, it's got 100 loaves of bread, I can grab the basket and go. Avpi Sheishbo Mea Sudot, even though it's enough for 100 meals. And the Gemara is going to explain the difference is whether it's like one action, I just grab the basket and run, that's fine, or many actions, many efforts with the, that'll be the chilek with the three meals. He says, the eagle shall devela, a person can save this large fig cake, even though it also has like more than three meals in it. The chavit shall yain, a chavit is a big, you know, casket, a big barrel of wine, even though there's a lot more than three meals worth there. V'omer l'acherim bo v'atzil lachem. A person can say to other people, you know, go and save for yourselves. And there's machloket poskim when he says go and save for yourselves, do they have any limitation on what they could do because it's not their money? And so we said that like the limitation is because the person's bahul amamono, he may come to put out the fire, but these other people, it's not their money. So there's a question whether they have any limitation. V'mayu pichim osimu cheshvan achar shabbat. So the Gemara is going to explain that if they're yirei shamayim, they'll and they don't want to keep the goods that they pick up. In other words, it's really hefker, and he says, go pick it up. But they don't feel comfortable doing that. And so afterwards, they can give the item back. but nevertheless, they're entitled to ask for their wages in saving the items on Shabbos. And because it's not Schar Shabbos, because they didn't stipulate ahead of time that they would be paid a certain amount. But now I could say, you know, I'd like to be paid. He says, L'heichan matzilin otan, where are you allowed to carry these items that we just mentioned? L'chatzer ha-murevet. In other words, I can carry a chatzer murevet, means it's enclosed, so it has all the partitions necessary for a shudiyachid. And we did a ruve chatzerot. So then there was, you have, you know, multiple houses which share a common yard or a courtyard, and they'd be surrounded by a fence. But you're not allowed to carry in that courtyard unless you make an eruve chatzerot, unless you all join together, let's say, with some bread, and that makes it like it's a reshut yachid, it's a din derabanan. So you're allowed to carry this food to chatzer merevet. In other words, where you can carry anything, that's where you could do it. He says, Ben Betera omer av l'sheina merevet. Ben Betera says, no, that here too, like we saw with the Kitvei HaKodesh, you have a special heter to carry to a chatzer she'ena merevet. But again, we're talking about a chatzer, so it's enclosed. You didn't do the Rube chatzerot. That's all Ben Betera is really saying. Now, Ulshamotzi Kuklei Tashmisho. So that location, he can bring all of his, you know, Tashmisho means like the plates, the silverware, whatever he needs to eat the food. He says, Velovesh Kumashe Cholobosh. He can put on clothing as much as he wants to save his clothing. So he put on, you know, as many, layers of clothing as he can. He says, "V'otev k'mo shecholatov," and wrap himself as much as he can wrap himself. Rabbi Yossi omer, "Shmona sar kelim." Rabbi Yossi says, "No, you're limited to 18 garments," and the Gemara will explain what these 18 garments are. So Rabbi Yossi, in other words, takes it like this: that if it's too many garments, it's a masui. In other words, we've spoken about carrying on Shabbat, so carrying is only if I'm wearing a malbush. If something is totally unnecessary for me, even though I'm quote-unquote wearing it, that is masri. That's a carrying on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yossi can hold that even if it's more than 18, I shouldn't even go out that way, even to the chatzer murevet, because there's a chashash, I'll walk out to the Rishus Rabbim with it. So I shouldn't do that on Shabbat. B'chozer v'lovei shumotzi, v'omer l'cherim bo v'atzi l'chem. But he can go back and put on more clothes and say to other people, go and save whatever you can with me. In other words, invite them to take clothing. All right, any questions on the mission so far? All right, let me go on. Now, we're on the fifth line on Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, "V'hatana le'resha shlosh sudot v'tula." But we learned in the previous Mishnah, you're only allowed to save enough food for three meals. And here we learned, the Mishnah says, I can carry out a basket with like 100 for food for 100 meals. So Amar Rav Huna lo kasha. So Rav Huna says there's no contradiction between our Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. Kan b'ba l'hatzil, kan b'ba l'kapel. In our Mishnah, we're talking about b'ba l'hatzil, it means there's one effort. In other words, I have a basket. Let's say it's my bread basket. It's got 100 loaves in there. I can take the basket, grab it, and run. That's not like Bahol Mamon, I'm not going here, there, the other place. Then there's a concern that I may come to put out the fire. I'm just grabbing it and running. That's fine. He says, Kan Babala Kapel, over there, the Kapel means like to fold it over. It means I take this basket, I take that basket, I take this basket. In other words, I'm gathering the food from different places, like here, there, and the other thing. So then I'm putting it, let's say, in one big satchel. You know, so then I'm limited in what I could take. In other words, is it one effort or numerous efforts? So if it's one effort, then I'm fine. But if it's an effort here, effort there, then they were concerned. You're going to get so involved, you're going to come to put out the fire. Now, the Gemara says, Balatzil Matzil Kulon. If you're just coming to be Matzil, like the one act, so you can save everything. Balakapel in the Kapel Mazon Shlosh Sudo. But if you're doing from here, there, and the other place, so then we're limited. We're going to put a cap on it, enough food for three meals. Okay, that's one Hesber. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Marav, Idi V'Idi B'Bala Kapel. Rabbi Zavda and the Rav, they're both talking about where I'm gathering from a number of places. He says, V'lo Kasha, Kan La'Ota Chatzayer, Kan La'Chatzayer Acheret. That there's a difference between when I'm taking the food to my own Chatzayer, again, there's less effort involved in taking it to my own Chatzayer, then I can even save lots of food. It's a similar idea, but like flipping it around a little bit. In other words, here it's saying the effort is I'm carrying it to like, you know, a further distance. He says, Kan l'chatzer acheret. When I'm carrying to another chatzer, then there's a concern that I'll come and I'll come to douse out the fire. Okay. All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts, anything we did so far?
Why does the difference in location make it more likely you're douse out the fire?
Yeah. I think it's based on like your effort. In other words, like you're doing so much effort with it. It's a little bit like before you were taking from here, there, and the other thing was a lot of effort.
But there you're in the fire when you're going back and forth. Yeah. Yeah. Time you're spending out of the fire.
Yeah, I hear. I don't know. That's the best I have with it. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions, comments, and thoughts? All right. So we're around the 10th very wide line in Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. By Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, Pereis Taito v'Kipel v'Hiniach, v'Kipel v'Hiniach Mai. Let's say a person, he has his garment, like the talis doesn't have to be like our talis the way we wear talisim, but it could be. In other words, he's got a cloak, he spreads out the cloak, and he's going to wrap all the food in his cloak. He says, so on the one hand, it looks a lot like the situation where you would gathering one item, like one basket, and then wrapping it all together. On the other hand, you're putting like food here, food there. You're not having baskets, and then maybe it's like one basket. So he says, my Kabbalah Hatzil Dami, U Kabbalah Kapil Dami. So the Gemara says, and then the Bacha is the words Tashma, Mida Amar Rava, since Rava said, Ate Rav Shezvi, the Rav Chista. Rav Shezvi misled Rav Chista. Bidarash. You know, in other words, the Gemara is going to, Rav Shezvi has a certain teaching, which was, you know, later on, like impeached. So from that statement, we're going to learn the answer to our question. That's the way the Gemara figures it. Now, if you remember, we had the other day, we learned in Daf, I think it was on Thursday's Daf or whatever, where the person has the keg of wine on the roof and it's leaking. Remember, I did the pictures with you. I don't know where you were there, or maybe Wednesday. In other words, the wine is leaking on Shabbos, and we said that's like similar to a fire. A fire, everything's getting destroyed. Here, like it's leaking out, it's getting destroyed. So you're allowed to take one kli and put it under the leaking wine to gather it. That's what we said, but not to... You can't take a whole bunch of other kalim and doing it, because again, we're afraid that you're going to do Hotzan Shabbos and the Rosh Hashanah. So he says, Ati Rav Shezvi L'Rav Chista B'Darash, he says that he shouldn't bring a kli that holds more than enough wine, let's say for three seudot, in other words, a very big kli. So the Gemara says, but that statement was upgeschluck. That statement was rejected. So that means I could bring one kli, even though it's going to have more than shlosh seudot. In other words, so if the barrel of wine is leaking out wine on Shabbat, the person is allowed to bring a big kli to capture the wine. He is allowed to do that, not the way Rav Shezvi taught. So the Gemara says, Shmamina Kabbalah Hatzil Dami B'Shapir Dami. So the Gemara takes it. Now, it's not such an easy fit with that answer, but the Gemara wants to say that having one container for a lot of food is like Balah Hatzil. In other words, that you have a license to save it. In other words, again, I have my garment, and so the case that I'm not allowed to do it is to take like this basket, that basket, the other basket, put all the baskets in the garment and tie the garment. That I'm not allowed to do. But on the other hand, I could take, like if I have one basket, I'm allowed to take the food that's in the basket. So what if I put the food, what if I put like food in my garment? So is that like a lot of baskets and not allowed? Or is that like sort of everything in one place? So the Gemara wants to say that, you see, with the leaking barrel, I could take a big barrel to collect the wine. So that's like, you know, when the thing's leaking out, one barrel, which is like the garment, that is the case that's permissible. Now,
do you get a choice of one large vessel? You got to make it a good choice.
Well, so that would be the wise thing to do. He says over here, like if you put, look in the article, they have like all these questions on it, and it's in footnote 23 in the top right-hand column. He says, the Marshan notes the obvious difficulty with this comparison. In the case of the wine, only a single effort was needed to collect all the wine drippings in the barrel. The fact that Rava ruled leniently in this case does not prove he would also rule leniently in the case of a cloak, where a number of separate efforts were needed to collect the food in the cloak. The Marshan does not offer an answer, but you get the idea. So, but that's the way the Gemara wants to compare it to. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. And then I didn't finish up the lines in the Gemara, but that's the idea. So I'll go back to the Aleph in parentheses. So Tashma Midama Rava Ati Rav Shezvi Lorav Chisav Darish Uvachli Vikli Shumaksi Gotimish Shosudo Shmamina Kabalahatzel Dami Shabir Dami Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Rava Mai Teuta. He says, why? In other words, so so the way that Rav Shezvi taught the halacha, he's not allowed to take a big barrel. So why is that mistaken? So Amar Lei Dikatani Uvadshal Yavi Kli Acher V'Klod Kli Acher V'Tzarev Kli Acher. So the Brisa said he can take a kli and capture the wine, but he shouldn't take another kli and then capture the wine when it's falling in the air. Another kli like capture it on when it's on level with the roof. So the Gemara says. So he thought, like, I can't have all these kalim because it adds up to a lot of, volume of liquid. But it's not the case. It's a kli achar, another kli he can't do. But that same kli that he is allowed to do. So that's the idea. In other words, the idea over there is that we were concerned that he might, be so for tumult getting kalim, he'll come to carry kalim in the Rishus Arabim. And also, I was bothered about this at the time, but I saw in the Masifta Gemara, they said that, remember, if you invite guests, then you do beheter because he needs the wine to serve the guests at the meal, and they get more of a heter in that case. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, let's move on. Now, we're around the 15th very wide line on Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. The eagle shall develop a chule. We said you're allowed to save this fig cake. So welcome, Aaron Moshe. We're on Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph, around the 20th very wide line.
Aaron Moshe came from Rabbi Simon.
Okay, very nice. But now it's Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. One second. Very nice. Okay. All right. Around the 20th very wide line. So the eagle shall develop a chule. So you can save this fig cake. So the Gemara says. So the Mishnah said that it was reading on the first wide line of the Mishnah. But you pichin osimu cheshbon achar haShabbat. That if their pichin is like usually very smart, but it's like knowledgeable, they'll make a cheshbon with the owner after Shabbos. So the Gemara says cheshbon mayavidate meyavkira kazachu. In other words, why do they have to have a cheshbon with him? In other words, the Gemara, I don't know, maybe thinking that they're going to make a cheshbon with him, that they're going to return the chafetz to him. In 1 second, let me take a look. One second. Right, so it sounds like the Gemara thinks that they'll return the chefza, they'll return the items that they took to the original owner after Shabbos. So he says, cheshbon oyvidetei mehefker gezach, what they're zocha from hefker. In other words, anything that's in that burning house is hefker, and in addition to which, the owner said, bo v'hatzilochem, go and save, it's yours. Like the whole house is going under. So Amar Rav Chista, mida chasidut shanukan. So Rav Chista says that it's mida chasidut, meaning that they're very pious people, and they want to return the cheftza because of their piety, and so the Gemara says Amarava chasidi agra the shabta shakli, but like we'll make a cheshbon. Sounds like that they want to be paid for their time that they. In other words, we'll give you the cheftza back, but we want to be paid for our time that we spent, grabbing the items from the house. So does that sound like a chassid, a pious person? Is that, I mean, it's nice that they're returning the chafza, but they're asking for the money for it? So the Gemara said, now, what it means like this is, like, technically it's not Schar Shabbat. You know that a Jew is not allowed to be paid for work that he does on Shabbos, even if he's doing permissible work. In other words, even if I'm doing a permissible item, I'm serving as a waiter as a meal, I'm not allowed to be paid for that work on Shabbat. So the way that we normally do it is you have Havlah, that we contract with you, you have work that requires work during the week and on Shabbos, and there's one lump sum for everything. But here, that's not the case. Here, they're just working on Shabbos. But notwithstanding that, it's technically permissible because they did not stipulate with him ahead of time that there would be payment or what the payment would be or anything like that. So technically, it's permissible. But the chassid, a person who's very pious, wants to avoid anything that even like looks like Schar Shabbos. So they would normally avoid it. So if you're telling me the Mishnah is talking about a chassid, he's so pious, so of course he's going to return the chafza, but he wouldn't be involved with looking for Schar Shabbos. Elama Rava, Hachabi Re Shemai Maskinan. So the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about a chassid, which is a high level, a very pious person, but we are talking about a person who's Yirei Shemayim. He fears a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, so his level is, he doesn't want to benefit from other people's, you know, property. In other words, maybe you could say, I don't want to, like, make a profit on other people's disaster, calamity, even though technically I'm allowed to do that. But I'm a Yirei Shemayim, so I'm going to give him back his property. He says, but I don't like spending my time for nothing. In other words, I don't know, I spent an hour taking, you know, food or clothing out of your house. You know, my time is valuable. He says, "V'haki kamar." When you pick him, the adi d'chaygav and love schar Shabbat. Who, if they were pick him, means they're very knowledgeable with dinim Shabbos, and they know that this is not technically schar Shabbat. He says, "Osini mo cheshbon lechar Shabbat." They'll make a cheshbon with him after Shabbos. In other words, they'll give him back the cheftzes. They'll give him back all the property, but you know they want a cheshbon for how much time they spent with him. Let me just take a look at the Rashi here. Yeah, if you look at the third wide line in Rashi, so the Gemara says, "Hani reshemayim yupichehe behilchot Shabbat, the yadi chaygav lav schar Shabbat hu." They know it's not schar Shabbat. The mikara lavadait to the schar pulat nachit. In other words, they know that I didn't go down. We didn't have any agreement ahead of time when I did the work. Osim ucheshbon v'haki, and then that's the way that Rashi learns. Okay, whose question comes to thoughts on anything we did in Sefer? What's up, Fern?
Schar Shabbat has to be based on stipulation.
Schar Shabbat is that I work out ahead of time that I say I'm going to pay you, you know, $10 an hour. That's Schar Shabbat.
But what even if I did, you didn't work it out with me ahead of time, I'm still working on Shabbat. Are we saying that sometimes you go with opportunity cost? I couldn't have made other money on Shabbos.
Right. But, all right, 1 second. Let's take a look. 1 second. So the way I would say is that there's an earlier Rashi as well. Let's look at the earlier Rashi. Yeah, so if you look at it, around six lines above where it gets wide, but Afalgav lav schar Shabbat gamur hu shrei lo hitna, he didn't stipulate ahead of time. That's the way he's doing it. So it sounds like if there's no stipulation ahead of time that I'm even going to get paid, then I don't think that technically any money you get later on is technically schar Shabbos. In other words,
I'm asking why. I still worked on Shabbos, and I still got paid for the work from Shabbos, and there's no ability to do Havlah here.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, I have to look at another book. Give me 1 second.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
One second, let me see. Okay, 20. Okay, so this is from this, the book from Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kones. So he says that you're not allowed to engage in business transactions on Shabbos. because business transactions often lead to writing. That's where we're coming from. And so he says one of the things is the earning of compensation. So in addition, the decree of a person receives Shabbos earnings, he was paid after Shabbos, is forbidden him or anyone else to derive benefit from his earnings. So then he says, one second. Yeah. I assume means like this, that since, you know, the idea is it's like a getter for writing. So in other words, that's the whole thing. So I don't have any deal with you. In other words, like I make a cheshbon how many hours I work, you know, so like, you know, like how much money I'm going to get paid. But if I don't have any deal worked out with you, you know what I mean? Like it's like more removed from the idea, I would think, of like concern for writing and things like that. In other words, I don't have any deal with you. There's never an agreement that I even be paid for my time. You know what I mean? So I think it's more removed from the idea of like writing on Shabbos. That's what I would say.
But if you pre-stipulate, like if you're a rabbi,
right,
or if you're a chazan and you only work on Shabbos,
right, that's not good. And then you have right. to.
Right, the havlah becomes more difficult. But
you would do the havlah, in other words, like the rabbi
the
would
preparation.
Yeah, would prepare a drasha before Shabbos and things like that, and then that would be the way.
And the chazan would practice before Shabbos. I get that.
Or he would, you know, that, and maybe daven before the amud or something like that. But all right, but I don't know.
I just don't see that the writing has anything to do with it, because the. You would never have a writing on Shabbos for Schar Shabbos.
No, but the concern is like, no, it means like this. Let's say I know your, let's say our my compensation.
Track of my time, I'd write
right,
it
Let's say it's $100 an hour, so I want to take out my pen, right?
Four hours.
Yeah, 4 hours, $400 they owe me. That's the idea. So, but this, like, we don't have any agreement of anything, you know what I mean? So it's more removed from, I think, from it. That's the best I have with that, Fern.
All right,
let's see. Now let's see back on the Gemara. All right, so we're 10 lines from the bottom on Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. All right, so L'Heichan Matzim L'Chulei. So Ma'ishna Hachani Lachem. Why is it on the first wide line of the Mishnah, the person, the owner says, with respect to the food, Bo Ba'asi Lachem, go save for yourselves. In other words, like it's your food. He says, Ma'ishna Hachad Chani Imi. But when it comes to the clothes, he says, Bo Ba'asi Imi, save together with me. So Amri, Gabi Mizono, Ketani Lachem, Mishum Lo Chazu, El Mazon Shlosh Sudot. He says, when it comes to the food, so he says, save for yourself. In other words, he's only allowed to save enough food for three meals. So I say, save for yourselves. In other words, because I'm capped out on how much food I could take out. So save, you know, it'll be your food. He says, Aval Gabi Levushim, Ketani Mi, Mishum Dekachazu Le Lekula Yoma. By the garments, so then I could wear the garments, you know, I could take out as many garments as I need, and I can change many times in the course of a single day. So I want you to save the clothes for me. In other words, I can go in and put on more garments and bring it out. And if you take out more garments, so I could even wear those garments today on Shabbos. So in other words, I'm not saying it's like for you. In other words, the garments, I want to hold on to the garments.
Well, so the food spoils and the garments don't.
All right. Yeah, but I don't know if all the food would spoil, but anyway, that's the way that's going. All right, let's take a look back on the Gemara. Now, Tan Rabbanan, Lovei Shumotzi Uposhet, that a person, he wears the clothes, he brings it out, he takes it off. The clothes are Lovei Shumotzi Uposhet. If he looks like Yom Kulo de Remeir. According to Remeir, he can keep putting on clothes, walking out with it and taking it off and then keep doing that. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shmonosar Kalim. Rabbi Yossi says you're capped at the 18 garments. He says, Ve'eluhain Shmona Asar Kalim. These are the 18 garments. Now, the Gemara is going to give the 18 garments which a person would wear, and that maxes out your garments. So, Miktoran Unkli Upunda. So, he says he says a cloak, an outer coat, and an outer belt is what he says. He says, Kabul Shal Pishtan V'chaluk. He says, I'm just reading the art school. He says, a linen doublet, a tunic. Va'apiliot is a robe. Uma'aporet, a kerchief to wrap around the neck. Ushnei sefarkin, two leg bands. Might be like a garter. Ushnei menalim, two shoes. Ushnei anpilaot, two socks. Ushnei pargo, two gaiters. He says, v'chagor shabatnav, the belt on his loins. V'kobo shabrosho, a hat. V'sudar shabatzavro, and a scarf around his neck. So that's the, you got the whole thing. You got the whole, you know, that's it. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts?
So what's the upshot of the Gemara? What can I take out for the three meals I get? And what about the big cloak? That was a machloket. How does it resolve? What can I wrap in the big cloak?
Yeah. So one minute. Let's take a look.
In the cloak, you could put in like 100 loaves of bread.
Yeah,
but it comes in the basket. I'm good to go already.
Yeah.
Right. No, but you could put as much in the cloak as you want. Is what I thought.
Yeah, no. But
question. You can put whatever you want in there.
That's the way that the Gemara seemed to conclude. I'm not sure halach l'maisa, but the halach l'maisa, we know that you are limited to three meals, and it has to be like with the one effort. With the one effort, you could bring even more food, but if it's multiple efforts, then you're limited to the three meals. That does seem to be a halach l'maisa. Then the other part, I don't know. All right. Let me move on.
The clothing sounds like one complete outfit. That's it.
Well, yeah. So it looks like from the Mishnah that you could put clothes on and wear it out and then keep putting it on and walking out with it. All right. Let's take a look. Now, the next Mishnah, Manithin, Reb Shimon Nanas Omer, Porsen Or Shel Gedi, Al Gavishita Tevu Migdal, Shel Chazben and Or, Mneshu Mecharech. Shimon Nanas holds that I could, let's say the fire, it's smoldering, let's say it's spreading. I could take the hide of a gedi, spread it over shita tevu migdal, is like, how's he translated? Like a closet. What does he say for shita tevu migdal? He says carriage trunk or closet. He can spread it over. He says, one second. Let me take a look. Shachat is the orb. Nishu mecharech. It just. The only thing it singes. It doesn't burn it. In other words, so I'll put the or on to prevent the spread of the fire. All right, he says, "Va'osin mechitza b'chol hakelim." I can make sort of like a fire barrier, a firewall, with all sorts of kelim, b'imleim b'imrikanim, whether they're filled with water or they're empty. B'shvil shlo tavor had leika, so the fire doesn't pass by it. So we don't know this yet, but the Gemara is going to explain. I mean, this is the way, it's a famous idea, or it's an idea in a halacha. Let's say there's a fire, I can't put the fire out, and you don't have any non-Jews to call to put out the fire. And assuming, again, there's like no lives at stake, because lives at stake might change the equation. So I'll put like a series of barrels in the way of the fire, where I think the fire is going to spread. And then when the fire gets to the barrels, these will be earthenware barrels. So the barrels will crack open, and then the water will come out and douse out the fire. That's the way the thinking would go. So this is called gram kibui. In other words, I don't directly put out the fire, but I set up the playing field so the fire will, you know, get put out. So the Tana Kama holds, I'm allowed to do gram kibui, and it means I do the gram kibui the way the Rama understands it, where there's a big hefsed, or I have a hefsed mamon, and I have a financial loss that's involved, then I can do the gram kibui. And the idea, this is like the idea in general by Shabbos, by Grama, that, you know, like you have like, you know, sometimes people need a scooter to get to shul or are not able to walk, but it doesn't mean that everybody can get in the scooter and drive it on Shabbos. In other words, that's for the person that has that special need. Then they have the heter, not anybody else. Okay, so let's take a look further in the Mishnah. He says, Rabbi Yossi Oser b'kli cheres chadashim le'imayim. Rabbi Yossi prohibits with using the new kli cheres. Rabbi Yossi holds that gram kibui on Shabbos is not permissible. So that's the machloket. Tana Kama holds gram kibui is permissible, and Rabbi Yossi holds it's not. All right. And again, the Rama mentions hefsid. I don't know if a loss. I don't know how much loss, but that's he says when he can do the gram. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Marav, Talitcha chazba ha'or mitzad achad. If I have a garment, a cloak, that fire is like grabbing it at one end or smoldering, no nima le'amayim mitzad acher, bim kavta kavta. I could wet the other side of the garment where the fire has not yet spread, and if as a result of that, the fire, you know, goes out, you know, then fine. You know what I mean? In other words, it's like a line of fire is going down like the garment. So I wet the part where the fire is not yet there. Same idea as like the fire with the barrels. And then if it turns, it goes out, it's fine. So Meifei, we ask a question from the following braisa. Talit shechaz ba ha'ur mitzad achad, poshta umitkaseba bimkav tekavda. The Gemara takes it, if I have, like, the fire apparently burns better when it's like everything is like folded over. You know, you have like depth to it. So if I have like a talus, which is like all folded up, that makes it easier for the fire to burn in that folded area, like a smoldering type of thing. So he says, so if I have that, I could spread out the garment. And he says, "Mitkaseba, I wouldn't be so eager to wrap myself in that talus." But he says he can wrap himself in it, bimkavta kavta. But if, as a result of doing that, the fire now goes out, so that's fine. He says, "V'chein sefer Torah shechazba ha'ur." Somebody has sefer Torah, unfortunately, that's, you know, fire is in it. He says, "Poshto b'korebo." I open it all up, and then I read in the Sefer Torah. In other words, my actions should have a need, I guess, for Shabbos. So I'll read from it. Bim kava kava. And as a result of that, if the fire goes out, that's fine. So anyway, so the question is that the first Rabbi Yehuda says that I'm allowed to put water on one side of the garment so it goes out. In the Braisa, it just says that I could just open it up and if it goes out, not that I'm adding water to anything or anything like that. So again, so Rabbi Yehuda says I can add the fire and is in the garment, so I can add water to the other side of the garment, goes out, fine. The Braisa just says I just spread it out and hopefully it goes out. So the Gemara says on the top line on Kuf Chafam Beis, so Rabbi Yehuda was following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, who's a Tanakh Kama or a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Eimer dam rishmananas neishu mecharech gram kibui miyamar." So I explain the Mishnah according to the Maskana. The Gemara says that, in other words, which is rishmananas holds from gram kibui is permissible on Shabbos if you have a hefsed. But the Gemara says, how do I know that that is the case? Maybe he just permits like putting. The only thing it says that he could put like the hide of the gedi on the closet and to prevent the fire from spreading. He says, Gram kibui miyamar. So the Gemara says, in, mi tani seifa, if you look at the seifa of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Oser, Bekli Cheres Chadashim, Lei Mayim, Shein Michom Lekabel Ad Ha'or, Vim Bakin Umekabin Ad Leika. In the second opinion, we learn that Rabbi Yossi says, I can't set up new earthenware vessel filled with water, because when the fire hits the earthenware vessels, they'll crack open and put out the fire. So he says, Mechlal, the Tana Kamashari. So from there, I can extrapolate that that's what Rabbi Yossi permits to be done. Rabbi Yossi permits that. And so indeed, there is Machloka Tanaim about it. And Rabbi Yehuda is following the Tana Kama. All right. Let me see.
Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, not Rabbi Yossi.
Right, correct, right. Rosh Hashanah, you're right. The Tana Kama, you're right. Okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let me keep moving now. Okay, we're on the fifth line. Tana Rabbana, Ner Sh'al Gabi Tavlo. Ner is like a lamp. I have a lamp that's on like a board, and I want the board, and the lamp is obviously muksa, and the lamp is burning. He says, Minayar da Tavlo, Vihino Felet. So I can shake the board, and then the lamp will flop off. He says, "Vim kafta kafta." And if, as a result of that, the lamp gets extinguished, so it gets extinguished. In other words, let's say I'm in my house, I have a dirt floor, you know, that type of thing, and I have some sort of board, maybe it's like acting as a table, and I have the lamp on the table, and I want the board, I use the board for something else, I could shake the board, the lamp flops off the table, and if the lamp goes out, fine, it goes out. She says, Amri debay Rabbi Yanai, lo shanlo b'shocheach. So they said in the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Yanai, it's only if he forgot the lamp there. In other words, he didn't make a conscious decision to leave the lamp burning on the table. He says, Abal b'may niach na'asabasis davar asur. If he intentionally left the lamp on the table, then the board also gets a muksa status. So that board is now muksa for the whole Shabbos, because the basis is davar ha'asur. All right. Tana near shachori adelet poteach v'noel kedarko vim kavta kavta. If there's a lamp behind the door, I can open and close the door on Shabbos the way I normally do. And if the lamp goes out, so it goes out. So the Gemara says, Light ala Rav. Rav condemned that ruling. Rav did not think that that ruling was correct. So Amrli Ravina Ravacha Bered Rava, Amrli La Ravacha Bered Rava, the Ravashi. My time of light ala Rav. Why did Rav condemn that ruling about opening and closing the door? Ilemishum Drav Savar La Kurabi Huda. Maybe that they look at it as a Davar Shenim Kavein. When I open and close the door, it might blow out the candle, might not blow out the candle. It's a Davar Shenim Kavein. Perhaps Rav held like Rabbi Huda that a Davar Shenim Kavein is Asur. He says, Vitana. He says, it's just something like Rabbi Huda. Vitana, Katani like Rabbi Shimon. And the Tana, the Brisa, that says I'm allowed to do that, he's following the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Davar Shenim Kavein is Mutar. Maybe that's the issue. It's Davar Shenim Kavein. So the Gemara says, "Mishum to Rav Savarla Kudav Yehuda called the Tani Kudav Shimon made light lay." So because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, would he say like condemn light is really like to curse? Would he curse everybody who follows Rabbi Shimon? That doesn't make so much sense. So Amar lay. So whoever was giving the answer here, he says either Rav Achabri to Ravo or Ravashi, he says, Amarlei, b'hafilu Rav Shimon Moda. He said, in this case, even Rav Shimon agrees that you can't open and close the door. He says, d'habayi v'rabba d'amri tarbayu, Moda Rav Shimon p'sik reisha v'lo yamut. In other words, here it's not a davar shenim kavein, it's p'sik reisha. If I open and close that door, it's going to blow the candle out. So then everybody agrees like that that's p'sik reisha, and I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbat. Okay, now, Amar Rav Yehuda, okay, all right, give me six lines and I'll pause, okay? So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Poteach Adam Delet Keneged Medura B'Shabbat. So, Rav Yehuda says that a person is allowed to open a door. Now, Medura is like a fire, like maybe like a fireplace, you know, so the door is not going to blow out the fire. Indeed, the wind will enhance the fire. In other words, when I open, if I have a big fire and you blow on the fire, it makes like a bigger fire. You know, you have a small candle and it goes out. But a big fire, you know, you don't blow on a fire in the house and expect it to go out. Anyway, so he says here, so he says, Potech Adam Delet Keneged Hamadur B'Shabbat. A person is allowed to open the door, you know, even though it's like in front of like this this bonfire on Shabbos. So Laid Allah Abayi. So Abayi here condemned it or cursed that ruling. So the Gemara says, B'may Askinan, what are we talking about? Ilei B'Baruch Matsuya, if it's your garden variety amount of wind, my time I demand the asar. In other words, the Ruach Mitsuya is not going to fan the fire. In other words, like Ruach Mitsuya is like, you know, I don't know, like 2 miles an hour or whatever. So the wind, so the fire is not going to, the question is Mlachat Mav here. You're like increasing the fire. Ibruch She'ena Mitsuya, if it's a very unusual wind, you got, you know, I don't know, you know, 30 miles an hour or going out and you open the door and it blows it up. So he says, my time I demand the shari. Everybody agree that is prohibited. So the Gemara says, Le'olam Baruch Mitsuya. We're talking about it is a Ruach Mitsuya. So that opening the door will not enhance the fire, will not be Mavir. He says, Mar Savar Gazrina. But one opinion holds that I have a Gezerah from opening the door when it's a Ruach Mitsuya because of the case of Ruach She'ena Mitsuya, because sometimes there is a big wind and then we'll do it. Umar Savar Lo Gazrina. One holds not. So Abaye, when he like condemned the ruling, was saying that he held it as Gzera D'Rabbanan. Like it's, you know, it's a little, we don't actually, you know, our life experience, I don't think is quite like this, but the, that if you open the door now, even though there's no problem with the wind, you know, blowing up and enhancing the fire, but sometimes there could be, and therefore he holds you're not allowed to open a door that's near like where the wind would go into the fire. Okay, what do you got for me, Yosef? Let me Yosef then Fern. Okay, what's up?
If Rav Shimon agrees to that bright, that you're not allowed to do this, who's that bright side going like?
Wait, which one? Which one? Let me go back.
The bright side behind the candle, you can't open the door. We said Rav Shimon agrees that you can't open that door.
1 second.
You cannot open that door.
1 second. All right, 1 second. Right. So we said it's a psik ratio. Let's go back about that. One second. Yeah, right. So yeah, so you have to say like this. It's not exactly like a psikoresha. You have to say it's very highly likely. In other words, when you open the door, the likelihood of the candle going out is, let's say, 90%, not 100%. In other words, psikoresha, in other words, it gets into the issue of like there's a spectrum between Einu Mitkaven to psikoresha. So Einu Mitkaven, it may or may not occur. Let's say equal, 50-50, that's Einu Mitkaven. 100% occurring is psikoresha. What if I move like the dial and now I do something where 90% likelihood it'll occur, 10% not. So where would you put that? Is that Einu Mitkaven or is that a psikoresha? In other words, where it's 90% likely it'll occur. So here, that's what the Gemara, let me look again in the art school. I think the art school has something like this.
Unless it's 100% of Shimon would say it's okay? Even if it's 99.9%?
Well, no, not, in other words, the question is, how do we, this is not Reb Shimon per se. Reb Shimon is working with Einu Mitkaven, but it's working with, how do we define psikoresha? How do we define Einu Mitkaven? So if something is like, say, 90% likely to occur, do I say that's a psikoresha case, which everybody, or do I say, no, it's really Einu Mitkaven? Let me take a look and see what he has here. One second. Right. So if you look in footnote 10 in the art scroll, he says the Marsash suggests that the flame's extinguishment is not actually inevitable, but is close to being so. Rav therefore prohibits this practice, but the Tana of the Braisa permits it. And okay, so that'll be the Hesbro I'll go with. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
Yeah. What happens if there's only one door in the house and you have to open it to get out?
Yeah. So if that's the case, you really got a problem.
You got a problem because if you have to have a fire and you have to get out of the house,
yeah, you got to.
There's a logical inconsistency.
Yeah, window.
You got to make your cheshbonot before Shabbos. You got to look and calculate everything before Shabbos.
It doesn't matter. You're not to do anything.
What?
This is not talking about this sakana. If this sakana, you're not to break.
Not sakana, but it's he's saying, let's say I have a fire
stuck in the house, and of course you're not to break the door and go out.
Let's say there's a fireplace and the fire is going. So we said if it's a ruach she'ena mitsuya, everybody agrees I'm not allowed to open the door. If it's ruach she'ena mitsuya, so I assume Robert's asking. Let's say I have my fireplace, I have my door. In Robert's scenario, that's the only door in and out of the house.
Yeah, I want to go to shul the next morning.
Oh, then you're stuck.
Then you are stuck. It's like let's say you have, you know, like a door where the buzzer is going to go off when you open the door on Shabbos. You're stuck in the room. You got to make the cheshbon before Shabbos and calculate what's going on here. You know, where's the door?
Turn the light off in the refrigerator.
Or else skip the where we don't want fire in the chimney this Shabbos, or we don't want a house or a room with a.
But Monday, it's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that's.
How did they do it in Europe when it was most probably just one room?
But I don't know that they had.
They must have had a window.
They had a fire.
They opened the window. They went through the door. So how most European in those days they were lucky to have one room that they owned.
Yeah. Well, if opening the door is going to enhance that fire, that's problematic on Shabbos. I don't think it's permissible.
Unless the door was placed so far away from the fire.
I don't know. All right.
Question. I have a question.
Yeah, what's that?
This is Grama Kiboy, right?
Which one?
You know, this general topic that we're dealing with, putting out the fire.
Well, yes and no. I mean, with the water, that was Grama Kiboy.
Fine. Here. Is that so? How does Harama fit in with this? I used to always tease Daniel Chodadarian because he would find all the Harama ways. This is a permissible thing to do.
Well,
in other words, I'm getting around it. You have to be a Talmud Chacham to figure out how you're allowed to do it and how.
Yeah, Harama
is cheating a person.
It's using a subterfuge within halacha to permit like a result that you want.
That's exactly, isn't it?
But what's the subterfuge here? In other words, here I have a hefsid, I have a loss, and I'm not doing harama. I'm setting up the water because it's not harama. I'm setting up the water because I want the fire to go out, is because I want to avoid the loss. In other words, harama is, you know, I wouldn't be allowed to do something, but with harama, I'm giving like an excuse where I could do it. Like we had with the two, you know, let's say the two sheep that were in the pit on Yontiv. I remember, according to one opinion, I say I want to shech this one. I take that one out, and then after that one's out, I say no, I want to shech. I lie for the other one. That's the type of harama. All right, let me see back in the Gemara. Now we're around 10 lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. Osim Mechisa Mechulei. So in the Mishnah we said, according to the Tanakhama, I can set up this water line of barrels. So when the fire hits the water line, the barrels will crack open, the water will come out and put out the fire. That's the game plan. So the name of the Rabbanan Savri Gram Kibui Mutar, Rabbi Yossi Savar Gram Kibui Asur. So it sounds like the Chachamim, i.e. the Tanakhama, Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, holds Gram Kibui is permissible, whereas Rabbi Yossi holds not. But we elsewhere see like the opposite shitot. So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is the one who's more machmir. The Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Osim mechitz bekelim reikanim uvumleyin, shin darkim lishtaber, that I can make a mechitz with kelim that are empty, or kelim that are filled with water, but would not be the type that would crack when approached by the fire. Ve'ilu meleyin shin darkim lishtaber, and these are the kelim that would not break. He says, klei matachot, it's a metal canister, so the fire hits it, it won't break. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af klei kfar sichin u klei kfar chananya in darkan lishtaber. Yossi says, even like a barrel that's made from the dirt, from the clay of kfar sichin and kfar chananya, they wouldn't break. So here in this braisa, we don't have any opinion of like Rabbi Shimon Asi, the Chachamim, that Gram Kibui is permissible. We only have the opinion that Gram Kibui is prohibited. But within the two opinions that we have in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi is more makil, he's more lenient. He says there's more kalim that you could use. So the Gemara wants to understand, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is the machmir. Here it's coming out, he's the makil. He says, v'chitema epuch matnitin. Maybe I should say to reverse the shitot in the Mishnah. Perhaps in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is really the one who holds Gram Kibui is permissible, and Rabbi Shimon ben Asi is the one who holds it's prohibited. He says, Rabbi Yossi debraita ledevreim ka'amar. So in the Braisa, the Tanakhama is holding that Gram Kibui is prohibited, which the way that we're revising the opinion would be Rabbi Shimon ben Asi. And Rabbi Yossi is saying, I hold Gram Kibui is permissible, but even according to you, that holds prohibited, you should say it's permissible. He says, "Rabbi the bright to the brain ka'amar." So the Gemara says, "We matzid avchala." Is that a plausible explanation that we're going to reverse the shitot? Va'amar Rabbi Bar Tachlif Mishmei the Rav, Rabbi Tachlif son of Rav, Man Tana Gram Kibui Asur. Who's the Tana who learns that Gram Kibui is prohibited? Rabbi Yossi. So Rav teaches explicitly that Rabbi Yossi is the one who holds Gram Kibui is prohibited. So the question is back to the original place. So again, the issue is, how come Rabbi Yossi here seems like the more lenient opinion in the Braisa? Eliolon lob tepuch, ubraita kula Rabbi Yossi hi. So the Gemara says, we won't leave everything the way it is. We have the shita right in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Das is one of those Gram Kibu is permissible. Rabbi Yossi holds Gram Kibu is not permissible. But we're going to like touch up the Braisa a little differently. He says, v'chisri mechstra v'hachi kitani. It's as if there are words missing in the Braisa, and this is the way we'll learn. One can make like a firewall with kelim that are empty, with no water in them, or they're filled with water, but they wouldn't normally break. In other words, so the clay matacho won't break, and then even the clay kfar sichin and clay kfar chananya also won't break. So we touched up the Braisa. The Braisa represents one opinion, and the one opinion holds that all of these kalim are not ones that would break. So our problems are solved with that. All right. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right. We're on the fourth very wide line in Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. V'ramid Rabbanan Rabbanan V'ramid Rabbi Yossi as Rabbi Yossi. Now we're going to pose a contradiction between another Braisa and with the opinion of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, we learn the Braisa, Hareshi Hashem Ketuv Lo Basaro. Somebody, don't ask me why, he writes the Shem Hashem on his flesh. So he's got like this ink, you know, not a tattoo, but like, you know, in the same idea, like it's written, he says, Hareza lo yirchotz v'lo yasuch v'lo yamod b'makoma tinofed. He shouldn't, he's really in a difficult straits. He shouldn't bathe. He shouldn't anoint himself. And he shouldn't stand in a schmutzy place because he's going to expose the Shem Hashem to all the schmutz. He says, Nizdan lo tefillah shel mitzvah, if he has to immerse himself in the mikvah because he has a mitzvah to be tovel, korech lehagemi v'yored v'tovel. So he'll take like a reed and wrap it over the part that has the Shem Hashem on it, and it'll be tovel. We think right now in the Havamina that the reed is going to prevent the Shem Hashem from being erased. In other words, that's what we think the problem is. We think that if he goes into the water, the Shem Hashem will become erased. So he's putting the reed on it so the Shem Hashem won't become erased. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Leolam Yored V'Tovel Kedarko. Rabbi Yossi says, no, he'll go, he'll tabble the way he normally does, Vajshli Shafshe, provided he doesn't like physically, you know, rub to remove it. So the idea here is, again, this is type of grama. In other words, I'm going into the water, and then the name is disappearing. So I'm not actually physically doing it, but I'm indirectly causing it to become erased. So here, Rabbi Yossi says, fine. Rabbi Yossi said in our Mishnah that gram kibui is not permissible. Here he holds the gram mechika is permissible. And the Chachamim, who in our Mishnah will assume it's the same as the Tanakama, Rav Shimon ben Menasya, who say that gram kibui is permissible, they say, no, you have to wrap the reed around it so it doesn't get erased. So the Gemara says, Shani Hatam, we're going to distinguish the cases. He says, different over there. Damar Krov, Yibadtem Shemam and Makomahu, Lo Tasun Kein Lashem Elokechem. So the Pasuk in Chumash says, you'll obliterate the names of Avodah Zarah from that place. And then it says, Lo tasun kein l'shem elokechem. You shouldn't do this to Hashem. It means you should, yes, obliterate the names of Avodah Zarah, but Shem Hashem, you shouldn't do this. So Asiya hu da'asur, so from that pasuk, I see mefurash that Asiya, like, you know, proactively, you know, erasing or destroying the Shem Hashem is prohibited. Gram ashari. So Rabbi Yossi, in this case, will hold gram is permissible based on the pasuk. So the Gemara says, I hachi, if that's the case, Hakanami Ktiv. We have a pasuk by Shabbos as well with putting, you know, doing malacha. It says, Lo tasek kol malacha. It says, don't do any malacha. So again, here it says, Lo tasun, here it says, Lo tasek kol malacha. Asihu da'asur gramashari. So it's the same thing. It's not different. In other words, the Torah only permits asiya. So if that's the basis for Rabbi Yossi's argument, so there shouldn't be a difference between his position with reference to putting out the fire, which he says gram is not allowed, and being mokech Shem Hashem. So the Gemara says, look, Shabbos is different. Mitoch shadam bahula mamono yishari le'ati l'chabuye. That by Shabbos in particular, you're right, technically, in other words, the Gemara is saying like this, that technically we think, according to Rabbi Yossi, if you do gram kibui, it is permissible. So Rabbi Yossi really agrees with the Tanakhama. But he's concerned, but by Shabbos, we're afraid that, you know, if I permit people in any way to put out a fire, a person will come to, you know, directly put out the fire. So the Gemara says, but if that's the svara that we're working with, yachi kashid rabbanan rabbanan, we're going to run a kashid with the chachamim. Umahatam dabau mamono shari, the chachamim, even though there's an aggravating factor by a fire on Shabbos, they still permit gram kibui. He says, hacha lo kol shekein. So here, certainly, the person's not bahul on it, and it was not going to lead to anything else. They should certainly permit it, and yet they say you have to have the gemi around it. So we're running into problems with this. Again, so the problem is, we have the shitot by Shabbos, where the Tanakhama holds gram kibui is permissible, and Rabbi Yossi holds prohibited. And then we have, by the person with the Shem Hashem that's written on his flesh, so the Tanakhama holds that I have to have the reed wrapped around the Shem Hashem, we think, to prevent it from being erased. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can go into the water and it's fine. We don't know how to reconcile those positions. So the Gemara says of a Tisbara, does that make sense the way you explained it? He says, "Hi Gemi, hey Chidami." He says, "What exactly is the Gemi? Like, what's the circumstances?" Itamahadik, if the Gemi, which is the reed, if it's tied tightly around the person's arm, kaveh chatzisa, it's going to be a chatzitza. It's going to be an interruption between the person and the water. Iloma hadek, if it's not tied tightly around him, he says, Aili beimaya, so the water's going to go on it and it will erase it. Just understanding the sheets of the Chachamim, when they say you have a reed around the arm, so in other words, if you say the reason for the Chachamim is that they hold Gram Mechika is not allowed, it doesn't make sense, because if the reed is tied tightly, it's a chatzitza, that's a dead letter. And if it's tied loosely, so the water will come, then it'll erase it anyway. So something wrong with our pshat here in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, chatzitza. Now, with chatzitza, when it comes to chatzitza in a mikvah, the key is miyur makpid. In other words, if it covers a small portion of a person's body, but the person is makpid on it, in other words, the person normally doesn't like that item there, so then it's a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, let's go to the both stadim. So if I say on the part that it's a chatzitza, so typically, mishum dio. So isn't the dio, the ink itself, a chatzitza? He's got things written on his flesh. Isn't that a chatzitza? So he says, balacha. The Gemara says it's like moist ink. He says, the tani, we learn the braisa, hadam ba dio ba devash va chalav, if I have blood or the black ink or the honey or the milk, yveshim chotzitzim, if they're dried out, it's a chatzitza. Lachim ein chotzitzim. If it's lach, it's not a chatzitza. Okay, so the ink is not a problem with the chatzitza, but this reed, if it's tied tight, will be a chatzitza problem. So the Gemara says, mikol makom kasha, so we don't understand how to interpret the braisa. Ela marava barav shila, hainu tamayid rabbanan, diksavri astrulamo b'fnei Hashem arom. The reason for the chachamim is a whole, not that, in other words, the chachamim agree that gram mechika is permissible. That's not a problem for the chachamim. They're fine with that. And indeed, the reed will be loosely on his arm. So the water will get over the Shem Hashem. The reason they hold you have to have the reed is the person shouldn't be undressed with the Shem Hashem. He's got Yud Kei Vav Kei written on his flesh. He shouldn't be undressed in the presence of the Shem Hashem. He says, Mechlaz Rabbi Yossi Savar Mutar Lamo B'fnei Hashem Arom. So if that's the case, so this is like altering our understanding of this Braisa. We're still not done with it. So the Chachamim certainly hold Gram Mechik is permissible. This Rabbi Yossi also seems to hold it's permissible. But the Chachamim are concerned about the Shem Hashem being exposed to a naked body. So isn't Rabbi Yossi concerned about that? So D'manach Yadei Lavei. So Rabbi Yossi holds that the person will just put his hand on the Shem Hashem. It was like he's got it on his arm. He puts the hand on the Shem Hashem. So Rabbanan Nami D'manach Yadei Lavei. So then according to Chachamim, what do they need to read? They'll also put the hand on it. He says, Zimnin D'mishtali V'shakilei. So the Chachamim are concerned, you're right, the hand would work. The Chachamim are afraid. Sometimes he'll forget to put his hand, and he'll remove the hand, and then the Shem Hashem will be exposed. So Rabbi Yossi Nami sins Mishtal Mishakalei. So the same thing should exist for Rabbi Yossi. Ella, Idi Ikagemi Hakanami. So the Gemara says everybody agrees for that reason. That means Sai the Chachamim, Sai Rabbi Yossi. They both agree that if you have a gemi, you have a reed, you should put a loose reed around the thing so the Shem Hashem is not exposed. He says, Idi Ikigemi Hakanami, Hakamai Skin La Dure Gemi. The issue is, the point of dispute between them is whether I affirmatively have to go around looking for this gemi if I want to if I want to be Tovel. He says, Rabbanan Savri on the top line on Kuf Chaf Manav. Rabbanan Savri, Tefila Bizmana Lav Mitzvah. The Chachamim hold, now there's a machlok in the Gemara, Tefila Bizmana. Let's say I'm Tamei, it could be a man or a woman. Is there a mitzvah for me to be Tovel as soon as I'm eligible to do Tefila? Let's say, I guess the easiest case is for a woman, you know, like with the most. So she went through the whole process, she counted the days, now she's eligible to go to the mikvah. So is she obligated to do that at the first moment? So the Chachamim hold Tefila Bizmana Lav Mitzvah. In other words, no, you don't have to do it that moment. You can wait a day or whatever. Uma Hadrinan. So they hold, you're going to shop around until you find a gemi, and then you'll be Tovel. For Rabbi Yossi Savar, Tefila Bizmana Mitzvah. Veloma Hadrinan. And Rabbi Yossi holds Tefila Bizmana is a mitzvah. So Mele, we're going forward with this. In other words, we're going forward, you're immersing, and that's the way it's going. So the Gemara says, "V'savar Rabbi Yossi tefillah b'zman mitzvah." I mean, the Tana Rabbi Yossi holds that when I have a mitzvah to go tefillah, I have to do it right away. But Hatanya, we learn in the Brisa, now this Brisa is talking about Yom Kippur. Hazav hazav hametzorva hametzorad bo'al nido t'mei meit. So the zav and the zav, the people who have like this issue, you know. The Zav has got like a certain emission from him, and the Zava is the blood at different times of the month. And then the Mitzorah and the Mitzorat, you know, they have leprosy, and the Bo'al Nida, a person had relations with Anita. Anyway, the point which may made a person who came into contact with a dead person. So they went through a Tahara process. Everybody went through a Tahara process. But now they're ready to be Tovel, to be Latan Bayom. So the Tana of the Brisa says, their Tavila will take place on Yom Kippur. That's what the Tana holds, because tefillah b'zman mitzvah. Even though on Yom Kippur, Rechitz is one of the five inuyim, but they had this thing to do tefillah b'yom. Nida v'yoledet tefillah tan b'layla. And then if there's a nida or yoledet, so they'll go to the mikveh at night. Baal keri tova v'holech kol yom kula. If he's baal keri, he'll immerse himself anytime during the day of Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yossi omer menamincha l'mala, Rabbi Yossi holds, if he became a Baal Keri from Mincha time going forward, which doesn't, you know, augur too favorably for a person on Yom Kippur, I don't know what's going on, but I don't know. Anyway, but he became a Baal Keri in the afternoon after he davened Mincha. According to Rabbi Yossi, he doesn't have to be Tovil. And it was, the implication is that he could put it off after Yom Kippur. Now he takes it, Rabbi Yossi takes it, you still have the tefillah ne'ilah. Rabbi Yossi holds ne'ilah, you could daven after nightfall. In other words, so you'll go to the mikveh after nightfall. And there was a Baal Keri, he's not allowed to daven, not allowed to study Torah according to the original Takana. So he's a Baal Keri. So, but if he became a Baal Keri after he davened Mincha on Yom Kippur, so he'll wait till nightfall and then he'll go it. So the point is that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold that tefillah b'zman mitzvah. Here we said before that Rabbi Yossi holds the tefillah b'zman mitzvah. So the Gemara says, "Ahi Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda." That's a different Rabbi Yossi. That's Rabbi Yossi b'Yehuda. Da'amar daya tefillah b'achrona. He says this is a complicated case, which we did when we did in the second Nida. The woman, she doesn't know this, doesn't know that, she doesn't know how she became Tameh, you don't know the whole Cheshbon, and so she's got to do a million tefillah by day, by night, here, the other, and then every day, going by day, by night, every day. So Rabbi Yossi says, wait till the whole thing, you know, wait weeks till the whole thing's over, then she'll go to the mikvah at the end. So that Rabbi Yossi, he holds that tefillah b'zman is lav mitzvah, but our thing is Rabbi Yossi. Okay, now, just one second on this. Now, one second. Yeah. The only thing I must confess is at the end, it seems to come out that Rabbi Yossi also holds that the gram mechika is permissible. That's the way it seems like from this Gemara. I don't know how to explain this seer at the end with that, right? Because they both hold that the person will immerse themselves, and the Shem Hashem will get erased. And even though Shem Hashem gets erased, it's indirectly, one second. Yeah, so I must confess I don't understand how we reconcile Rabbi Yossi at the end, because we said here by Shabbos that Rabbi Yossi holds that the Gram Kibui is not allowed, and yet it comes out from this Brisa that Rabbi Yossi holds that being Tovel is permissible. The only thing that's different is here you do have the mitzvah. Maybe he holds because there's a mitzvah to immerse himself in the mikvah. Maybe that changes the situation. I don't know what else to say. I'm seeing if he's got anything here in the art scroll. One second. Yeah, so we hold Lech L'maaseh, and nobody is Tovel on Yom Kippur. But, I'm sorry, I don't have an answer to that question. Okay, all right.
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, why would anybody be writing Hashem's name on their arm to begin with?
I don't know the answer to that.
Isn't that almost like doing a tattoo? Isn't that forbidden?
It's not a tattoo. If it's something you could erase, you know, it's not a tattoo. But I don't know why a person would write the Shem Hashem on their body. I don't know. It sounds like the person kind of feels like he's going on a higher level by writing the Shem Hashem. But I don't know why a person would do that. It doesn't sound like anything anybody would recommend doing. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. So let me stop recording.